15 or 20 years ago, a large group from this church went on a group trip to Greece. And as we were driving along in our tour bus, our guide told us that to notice that across the landscape there were many, many, many unfinished buildings. And she said that many times people had started building something in better economic times, and then when it came time to finish the project, they couldn't do it because they couldn't afford it. The gospel today has Jesus speaking of thinking ahead to the costs of discipleship. He speaks about what we have to give up in order to follow God in Jesus. What are the costs of building a better world, a better relationship with God? What are the costs of loving neighbors? I started speaking last week about what gets in the way of our loving our neighbors. And of course, our short and convenient answer is our neighbor. There are many ways, many obstacles to our loving our neighbors. Last week I talked about the attribute of pride with all of its manifestations and how it gets in the way of our seeking and imitating Jesus. When we seek God, humility is required. Now the problem is that many people confuse the idea of humility with humiliation. Humility gives all power to God. Humiliation seeks to take power from others. We do that by judging them as unworthy of our help and our compassion and even our respect. This week's gospel tells us that another thing that gets in the way of our loving God and loving neighbor is the attachment that we have to the things and the people of this world. Now, in that idea of attachment, there is a dangerous version of it, which is prejudice. Prejudice is when we value one person or one type of person over another. It is when we assume that all of us get invited to the banquet while all of them do not. We get attached to people like us and we become wary of people unlike us. In the gospel today, Jesus says, if you do not hate your family, the King James Version says, if you hate not. These words mean that people who follow Jesus are to act as if they hated loved ones whenever the claims of home come into conflict with the ways of Jesus. Jesus, God through Jesus, demands a primary and undivided attention. A man named Joseph Butler wrote a prayer concerning our affections, which would apply here. His prayer said, help us by the due exercise of our affections to improve to perfection till all partial affection be lost in that entire universal one. O God, be all in all. We are to follow God first and to base all of our relationships on that. Elsewhere in the Gospels, in Matthew 25, there is the story that Jesus tells about Judgment Day and about the people who have either helped or failed to help what he calls the least of these. The king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who who are members of my family, you did it to me. My family. So Jesus is telling us in today's gospel, not of the unimportance of family, but in the danger of defining it too narrowly. We are to expand our idea of family, as I spoke last week of our expanding our idea of neighbors. We are to push out the boundaries in our definition of family to include all of God's people. Now, all of us, I think, have an awareness of trying to fight prejudice within ourselves and around us. Generally, we think of prejudice in terms of race, black and white especially. But what are the other attachments, the other ways that we huddle with our family despite the teaching of Jesus to embrace all human beings? Our other attachments where we divide into us and them, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, not only in politics but in social policy and economics, those who share our opinions versus those who do not. We are not only to embrace the poor and the oppressed in the name of God, but we are to embrace everyone not like us. The first step in doing that is to understand the frame of reference we use to view other people. I came across a quote the other day that I just love. It says, "The absent are always wrong." Let's think about who is absent from our frame of reference. Who is absent, then, from our desire to help and embrace and understand? Now, in conversations nowadays about prejudice, the idea of white privilege is very often mentioned. And I have to say that every time I hear that phrase, I get kind of tense and defensive. But it's an important idea, not just in terms of race, but in terms of us versus them. I read a quote that says, "Privilege is when you think everything is okay because it's okay for you." So that is not a racial issue. That is an issue of compassion or lack of it for a wider group of people. If we think everything's okay because we're okay, then we believe we don't need to change our systems. We don't need to change our reference points. It takes us off the hook for the hard work of change, whether it's personal or societal. It makes us complacent. We have to learn to recognize within us the ways that we exclude other people, to consider the experience of people who are not like us, and to listen to the person, not to make gross generalizations about them. An article about breaking down boundaries suggested this technique that I absolutely love, this idea. It's a narrative technique, and in it you have a group of people and you pair them, and so each pair of participants is their own little group, and one of the participants tells to the other a story from their past life. The partner listens deeply. Then when the group comes back together, the person who heard the story has to retell it using first-person pronouns as if it had happened to them. The technique is to address what is called the empathy gap. I can't understand you because I don't understand your story. There's a lot of work we have to do in order to get rid of these habits and just instincts that we have. The poet Adrian Rich said, until we can understand the assumptions in which we are drenched, we cannot know ourselves. One of those assumptions is, whom do we identify as family? Whom do we identify as persons deserving better treatment? We have to let go of what Joseph Butler called our partial affections, our earthly attachments, our natural instinct to favor our group over the others. But what that means is we will leave many building projects unfinished. This attachment, and the bad side of it is prejudice, these things get in the way of our ability to build. This whole gospel passage is not about construction techniques. It's about superficial and convenient discipleship. What are the unfinished towers in our lives? What gets in the way? One commentary asks these questions. Can you live by the Beatitudes? Can you endure loneliness for Christ's sake? Do you have the vision and the patience to build the tower of the kingdom in this unruly world? We are here in a religious community to try to be united, but then also in the name of Christ to push out the definition of our family and of our group to be united with all persons. We are being held to the highest standard, to love God and love neighbor, not just to favor those in our groups. Jesus' stories tell us everyone is equal. Everyone has an equal place at the table. Everyone is a member of your family. Everyone is your neighbor. We have to let go of prejudice. We have to let go of the exaltation of our own group, our family, over others. And letting go of those pet attachments is one of the costs of building the kingdom of God. Are we ready to let them go? Are we ready to build? Or are we willing to leave buildings unfinished all over the landscape?